There are free pamphlets on the table, which is right back there. And then for anyone who wished to learn more about the OA program, we are encouraged to get a sponsor to take us through the steps and help us guide our recovery, to develop a plan of eating if we wish, to write it down and report daily to our sponsor, reading OA-approved literature and attending OA meetings to develop a working knowledge of the 12 steps and traditions. And we'll now ask the speaker who will share for 30 to 40 minutes on what she was like, what happened, and what she's like now.
Hi, Janet. I am food addict.
Hi, Janet.
Let me see. I wear sunglasses for medical reasons, so that'll answer your main question right there. I've been in programs since 1976. I have a current abstinence of 43 years in 3 days. I'll be sober 43 years and abstinent in 3 days. It'll be 43 years maintaining 120-pound weight loss. I have never left the rooms. I've never had a weight gain. The only weight gain I had is when I went through cancer and weight loss or weight change was went through cancer and chemo and et cetera, and on some different meds I was put on that I gained 15 pounds in 8 days, but never from my addiction. And never from my disease. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I weighed 309 pounds. I drank a fifth of JP Scotch every couple days. I smoked 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I physically, verbally abused my 6 children. Hated my husband. Spent 5 nights a week in the bars. Was full of fear and guilt, self-pity, resentment, self-loathing, and everything that goes with it. Before I got to Overeaters Anonymous, my journey was, I was severely obese all my life, back when you didn't have severely obese children. I had to have my clothes especially made in grade school, and all the way through school, you know, breaking down the seats and not being able to cross your legs, being the last one to everything that goes with severe obesity. Started basically with doctors, the diet doctors and stuff at the age of 8. Only they weren't diet doctors then, they were family doctors, you know. And I would go in, and if I lost weight, he would give me a quarter as a reward to go get a malt. And if I gained weight, then I didn't get the quarter, you know. So most of my life, I learned the good-bad reward system of your worth is what the number is on the scale and stuff. But I was taught that by many people and by my own low self-esteem and self-abuse of myself and stuff. Went on Medi-Cal in my teens, lost a bunch of weight, then I gained, always lose 20, gain 40, lose 60, gain 80, lost 80, gained 120 in less than a year before I got here. I lost 80 pounds basically in tops doing Xbox, water pills, suppositories, you know, whatever. And physically willing to destroy my body just to lose weight. Hated my body size, hated my body image, and hated my life, period, you know, because of my obesity. And I tried the doorknob pullers, the trampolines. I tried everything that came down the pipe. You know, when AIDS came out, I always set a box of AIDS before supper, taper. That was no big deal and stuff, you know. And I did everything that was possible. My husband was 20 years military. We were stationed in California. And I remember once for $100, you could go to this place and they had wooden rollers. And you just lay on the wooden rollers for a half hour and let them beat you up. And you would be fine. Nobody told me I couldn't eat the way I was eating and just do that. And that was the place when I walked in, the lady said, if you stick with us, we'll even get rid of that camel hump on the back of your neck. You know, and that was the first time I knew I had a camel hump on the back of my neck. So that's cemented into. The diet pills, they work good. I clean the house once in a while because of the pills and stuff. you know, and I did everything I could possibly do to lose weight, you know, and how I got into Overeaters Anonymous, I was weighing in at Tops at 309 pounds. And the lady weighing me in at Tops told me there was a new game in town called Overeaters Anonymous. And the meeting was on Monday night, and she says, you want to go? And I said, yeah. Because anything that came down, any new diet, any new soup, any new pill, any new shot, anything that came down, I was willing to try. So I went to my very first meeting, and I took my mom with me because they might keep me, so I needed protection. And I ate all day because I knew you're going to take something away from me and I might not get it. So I ate all day. It was just totally stuck. So I went to the meeting and then I walked out with my mom and I looked at my mom and I said, I don't know what the hell just went on in there, but they have something I want, but I don't have a clue what it is. Nobody gave me a shot, nobody gave me a diet, nobody gave me anything. You know, they told me to come back. You know, and it was like, okay, I want to find out what this is about. Because, you know, they seemed a little bit of peace and stuff like that, you know. And it wasn't just the weight loss. They had something I hadn't seen or experienced anywhere else and stuff. And we only had one meeting. I mean, we're talking 1976, you know, and stuff. And we only had one meeting. And I would go to it. And they gave me a big book. And by the grace of my higher power, you know, I came into the program when we didn't have OA literature. We had the big book in the age 1 and 12. We had Gracie. We had three meals a day, no sugar, nothing in between. You called three people a day, you didn't screw around. It wasn't give and take or take what you want and leave the rest. What they said is you do it, you'll get it. You know, and I don't know why, but I was willing to do it. You know, and so I got into the big book. And I fell in love with the big book. And nobody knew anything. But we had a couple of Al-Anon that started OA, and nobody knew anything about the big book or anything, you know, and stuff. So they suggested that I go to open AA meetings that had big book studies. And I said, man, I'll go. I want to know what it's all about and stuff. So I started going to open AA meetings. Those guys started to suggest if I was drinking a fifth of scotch every couple of days, staying five nights a week in the bar, I might have an issue. And I said, no. You know, when I came in the program, like I say, I was 309 pounds, hated my husband, didn't love my kids at all. I was full of fear, guilt, anger, self-pity, everything that goes with it. But my only problem was that I was fat. I was in so much denial, I knew nothing else, you know? And as I sat with the people in the big book, and the other thing that happened to me is when I came into OA, I sat in the rooms and everybody seemed to have an excuse for being a food addict. You know, they had a bad life or sexually abused or a divorced home or poverty or whatever. Everybody had that. I didn't have any of that. I had good parents, I had a loving home, I wasn't abused, there wasn't alcoholism in the family, and I sat in the rooms feeling different because I am one with the no excuse. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to justify or rationalize who I was and tell the big book for the first time in my life. I was explained to me, I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. For the first time in my life, I understood the physical allergy is like any other allergy. My body has an abnormal reaction. If I put it in my body craves for more. And I understood allergies, you know, like somebody with strawberries or with fish or whatever. Some people break out into a rash. Some people get a swollen throat and some people die. You know, so I understood allergy. So for the first time, I knew that if I put sugar or alcohol into my body, it sets up a craving over which I am powerless. So my solution was not to ever put it in again. And that part of it was taken care of, you know? And then the mental obsession, now that's another issue. You know, to deal with that and to understand the mental obsession, you know, was something totally different. You know, with my food, when I first came in And they said three meals a day, nothing in between, no sugar. And it was like, no, I just gained 150 pounds in less than a year. I ate, folks. You don't do that without eating. You know, one afternoon I ate two boxes of chocolate covered cherries in one afternoon, and I was so sick I couldn't breathe, but I couldn't quit because there was some left.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. So I know what the obsession is like. And when they told me, if I don't put it in my body, I never have to deal with that again, that was the most exciting news I ever had in my life. You know, it explained why the shots, the pills, the diets, the X-lax, it explained why I could lose weight, and then the second I started eating, I was gaining again. It explained me to me for the first time in my life. Now, with the other part of it, the mental obsession, dealing through all the lies that I lived and all the justification I had made over my life with another issue, I said, like I came in the program, I have several voices, you know, and we're down to two or three, and we get along. So, you know, there's no reason to go further there, you know. And when I first came in the program, I had two sponsors. And my two sponsors, one was one I picked because she felt sorry for me, and the other one I picked because I wanted recovery. So whenever any, you know, you guys gotta understand, I was nuts, okay? And when I came in the program, I had 16 teenagers, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, and 13, all at the same time. So I walked in nuts with a nutty home. And so when I walked in here, and you guys started taking me through the steps, I was so full of self-pity that all I wanted was somebody to feel sorry for me. That's why I picked that sponsor. And I would call her up and I would say, okay, this is what happened. She'd say, oh, Janet, you said you have it so bad already. And I said, yes, I do. But, you know, and I would suck the life out of her. And then when I wanted recovery, I called the other one. And she says, it is what it is, Janet, now what? You know, and she's the one that taught me life is life on life's terms. It's not what happens, it's what you do with what happens. She was the one that taught me how to work through the steps on every situation. She was the one that told me, if I live these steps to the best of my ability and understanding one day at a time, I would walk free. You know, and the more recovery I got, the more I went that direction. You know, when I first came into the program, you know, even getting off sugar, I still, you know, like we had to write down our food. So I'd write down my food and call it into my sponsor. And I didn't tell her I was eating 2-hour suppers. You know, I mean, because I knew when I quit chewing, breakfast was a long way away. So I would chew until I couldn't chew anymore, and then that was it. And I didn't tell her, you know, I tell her chicken for lunch. I didn't tell her it was a bucket from the Colonel. I just told her it was chicken for lunch. You know, I lied to my sponsor. The reason I lied to the sponsor is I couldn't take any more rejection. And I figured if I told her the truth, she would reject me. So that's the reason I lied to my sponsor, you know. But the more I was in the rooms and the more I was in the big book and more I was doing the stuff that they were telling me to do, and I was listening to people that were in recovery, the need to lie started to subside. You know, my defects of character that I used to protect me started to subside, you know. So my sponsors started taking me through the steps, you know. And in step one, they said, okay, Janet, you know, you need to admit you're powerless. And the only thing I could admit I was powerless over was my kids and my husband. That was it. I couldn't admit I was powerless because I'm from that generation, you pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you shape up, you do up what's wrong with you, etc. You know, and then what I could admit to is I was powerless over what the food did to my body once it entered because I understood the allergy. I could admit I was utterly hopeless in that area. I could admit I needed help. I could admit my way wasn't working. I could admit those things. And that was the best I could do with step one, you know, and stuff. But I couldn't see. I was, you gotta understand too, you know, I was eating and drinking and doing all that stuff. And my husband and I, it was true love, you know. he had just gotten divorced with four kids, and I was divorced with two kids, and I was working in a strip bar. You know, so we put the family together. So, you know, and it went downhill from there. You know, so it wasn't Disneyland at our house. You know, so every time I had to start working through one of the situations, again, I could go to the one, because a lot of people felt sorry for me because of what was happening. And I could suck that up really good, you know, but then I go to that other one, and then she'd take me to another step. You know, she'd always take me to the steps, and she's the one that taught me the only reason I'm in a 12-step program is to live the 12 steps. She said, there's no other reason to be here. You know, that's what we're here for, and the steps are our solution. So she took me through the steps, and she said, step two, unless you've done step one, if you've got your powers, you need help, there's no reason for step two. And she took me through step two. Step two came to believe a power greater than myself. Could you restore me to a size 12, 14? That's all I wanted from God. You know, shake my kids up, take away my problems, my pain. That's all I wanted. So my initial relationship with power greater than myself was just to control and manipulate my higher power to get what I thought I needed and wanted. You know, so when it came to step three, to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, if he did it my way, then we're good friends. And if God doesn't do what I tell him to do in step two, he's a bad God. You know, years later, I found out, of course, all for me, all step three is, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. God's will for my life is to live the 12 steps to the very best of my ability and understanding one day at a time, else he wouldn't have sent me to a 12-step program. So that is God's will for my life. So today, if I have to make the decision, it's just to make the decision to live the steps to the very best of my ability. You know, I was listening to one speaker, and like he said, you know, I had an opinion, and then I had experience, and then I had a new opinion. That's my problem. That's the whole journey. We come in with one opinion. We have an experience in the rooms. We have an experience with God. We have an experience with another person. We have an experience with the steps. And just like a spiritual experience is a personality change to bring about recovery. So I had an opinion. I had an experience with recovery. Changed my opinion. That's my whole journey through this whole walk that we have going here, you know, and it just keeps getting better. You know, I was going to read you this because I love it. It's from Lifeline. Because I'm a step person, you know. If you need somebody to take you through the steps, you need a sponsor that is living the steps and step. But this is from Lifeline, my favorite one. As a long-timer who has 41 years in Hawaii and has maintained 150-pound weight loss, I'm frequently asked, what is the secret of getting and maintaining abstinence and recovery? My reply is always the same. It's not a secret. It's working and living the 12 steps of OA. Voices of Recovery further explains, if you really want to know how I work this program, you'll have to follow me around at least one day. Deception comes easily for this compulsive overeater. Through sheer force of self-will run riot, I can appear to be working the perfect OA program. But to be the message takes a commitment to working our 12 steps, to sharing abstinence, and most important, to sharing my success as well as my failures with others. This commitment is one I must make continually to live well and be well one day at a time with God. I am able to keep and maintain abstinence and carry and recovery only because step 12, I am able to carry the message to compulsive overeaters to practice the principles of this program in all my affairs, a direct result of a spiritual awakening, which is possible only because I took step 11. I seek through prayer and meditation to improve conscious contact with God as I understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out, which I'm able to do and the freedom to do because I took step 10. I am able to take a personal daily inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it, which is possible only because I took step nine. Nine, I made directed to all the persons I had previously harmed wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, which I can do only because I took step eight. I made a list of all the persons I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, which I am ready to do only because I took step seven. I humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings, possible only because I took step six. I was entirely ready to have God remove all my defects of character, which happens only because I took step five. I admitted to God, to myself and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, which I could do only because I did take step four. I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, which I ready to do only because I took step three. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him, possible only because I took step two. I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, which I was open to believing only because I did take step one. I admitted that I was powerless over food and my life was unmanageable. Today, I live well and am well. My life is happy, joyous, and free because in addition to the above, I give service and right to Lifeline. See, each step that we take equips us for the next step. We can't do the next step until we're equipped with the step and the principle of the first step. You know, I love my life. I love what's taking place. I know how to do life on life's terms. I am happy, joyous, and free. Just to let you know, I live in the real world, whether I'm abstinent or sober or not. And I'll just start with 2011. My mom died November 2nd. My husband died November 19, 2 weeks later. In 2012, my son-in-law had a stroke on his right side on his 53rd birthday, and 2 days later, I stroke on his left side, he's paraplegic. In 2014, I was diagnosed with four different kinds of cancer. One was stage four, did the chemo, did a PET scan, they found thyroid cancer, had that removed at the University Hospital. And then in 2016, my daughter got cancer. 2017, a granddaughter, we have a set of twins that were born on June 20th, and one died and one lived. And I couldn't go to the funeral because my daughter that was in the process of dying of cancer was having a stent put in her kidneys, so I couldn't go to Missouri to the funeral. My daughter died April 18, 2017. This year, I'm from Iowa. I spent the winter in Yuma. This year, we came down in October, got down here. 2 weeks later, I got a call. My daughter, who is my oldest at 58, died of congestive heart failure. We went back to the funeral. Got back, we were back 2 weeks, and my son-in-law was paraplegic, died, so we went back to another funeral. The reason I'm telling you this stuff is life, but because of the 12 steps, because of the fellowship, because of the program, I can do life. You know, and I got the call when I was in Yuma, I was playing cards, and I got the call of my daughter, and so they all gave me hugs, and I got in the golf cart. The very first thing I did is I started praying the step three prayer, which is my personal favorite. God, relieve me of the bondage itself. Don't let me make this about me, because if I do, I'm not there for other people. So God, let me know. And I text 40 people, and I told them what was going on, and I need prayer getting home. You know, the miracle is I know 40 people that pray because of the program. You know, I mean, because where I was hanging out, there wasn't a lot of people praying, and there wasn't a lot of people to turn to. What I'm trying to tell you is this program is life-changing. Not only do you lose the weight, not only are you free from the addiction, the compulsion, the obsession. I don't think about food. I haven't for years and years and years. See, God removed the obsession from it. But I don't use it either. You know, I haven't had sugar, just like somebody said earlier, fourth or fifth down on the ingredients for 43 years. And not alcohol either. You know, the miracle of this program to walk into the promises of the program, you know, is unbelievable what's available to us. You know, the miracle of recovery, and a lot of us sell ourselves so short because we don't know it's all available. If you have a sponsor that's got you in the steps and in the big book and you're going through, you're on the journey. For me, everything I had received, I received in the journey. You know, I came in the program, I was nuts. It was a couple years before I had any freedom or peace. I don't know why I stayed, but I did. I lost some weight, that's probably why. You know, and I had a spiritual experience, I had personality change, I had the power within myself to restore me to sanity, and today I walk free. Thank you. because of the effects of chemo, so. Oh, and here's some pictures, I forgot to, these are my alias, but they're there. Thank you, God.
Thank you so much for that. So we'll open it for questions, and then if you could just repeat the question when you give the answer.
Yep.
Janet, would you describe how you live in 10, 11, and 12?
Oh, yeah. How do I live in 10, 11, 12? Through the years, I have been taught that steps 1 through 9, get me right with God, get me right with myself, and get me right with others. Step 10 keeps me right with me. Step 11 keeps me right with God, and step 12 keeps me right with you. So as I practice the steps on a daily, once I went through the first 9 steps and got a relationship with power greater than myself and a relationship with myself and with others, on a daily basis, I do those. Step 10, I'm 76 years old, I'll be 77, I've been around a long time. Bottom line, it's pretty simple for me nowadays. Step 10 for me is, you know, hey God, if I had a do-over, what would have I done different? You know, it's that simple. If I had a do-over with food, with my mouth, with my money, with my time, with anything, if I had a do-over. Step 11, I have conscious contact with God 24/7. I'll sit down. I started out, and, you know, my sponsors, because they teach you everything, you know. When I first came in, you had 15 minutes. You had to set the alarm clock. You had to sit for 15 minutes of prayer and meditation. What they're teaching us is to settle down, you know, and to do it. So I would sit there, and I'd shut my eyes, and I'd do my prayer meditation, and I'd look at the clock, and a minute and a half had gone by. And it was like, what do you do with the other 13 and a half minutes? You know, you think about the groceries and the kids and the laundry. Today, I can just sit and spend time with my higher power. One of my very favorite sentences on step 11 is the AA 12 and 12. If this God has restored you to some sort of sanity in this sorely troubled world, surely this God's worth doing better. It's that simple for me, just a relationship. Step 12, I sponsor and I am sponsored and I carry the message. I don't do a lot of service work. We retired in 2000, so I spent 6 months in Yuma, 6 months back in Iowa, which makes it hard to do service work. You know, anything like intergroup that's right where I'm at, I share half a year with another person. She does it while I'm gone and I do it. And so we share, so I'm still in the service there. Yeah. Question? Yep.
Thank you so much for your honesty. I love the bars and, you know, that whole way of life. And it's nice to hear, you know, different stories that people have about their life. I really appreciate your honesty.
Thanks. Love the program. I know where I came from and I know where I'm at. It's impossible. So, yeah. And I know it's possible for other people. Yeah. Yep.